I guess we can safely say that there were people within the FBI and other agencies who actively protected and aided the alleged terrorists. With all the resources available to U.S. intelligence, you would think that someone within would have detected something. Well, one did. The Black Operation Program Able Danger identified the hijackers prior to 9/11, but the FBI wasn't interested. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, an intelligence officer inside Able Danger, tried to blow the whistle several times.
Was the commission that investigated the 9/11 attacks told that lead hijacker Mohammed Atta had been identified and as Al-Qaeda operative more than a year before terrorists struck?
I'm told confidently by the person who did move the material over that the 9/11 commission received two briefcase size containers of documents. I can tell you for a fact that would not be one-twentieth of the information that Able Danger consisted of during the time we spent.
Schaefer would also meet with Philip Zelikow, the executive director of the 9/11 Commission. What did Schaefer tell Zelikow?
And I'm quoting how I remember saying it. We found, as part of the data run, we found two of the three cells which conducted the 9/11 attacks, to include Atta.
Schaefer says his unit linked Atta to Al-Qaeda leaders, but would not provide any specifics as to what he did with the information he had.
We attempted to, first off, use it operationally. The lawyer said you can't do that. They're considered U.S. persons. Therefore, at that point in time, we made the determination as a team that we should move this information to the FBI.
But he says beginning in September 2000, three meetings he set up with the FBI were each canceled by military lawyers.
Despite all of this, the 9/11 Commission would deny it any significance and not include it in the report.
Leaving a project targeting Al-Qaeda as a global threat a year before we're attacked by Al-Qaeda is equivalent to having an investigation of Pearl Harbor and leaving somehow out the Japanese.
Schaefer and his team tried to stop the hijackers prior to 9/11, but were blocked. Later, the military would begin a smear campaign against them in order to discredit their findings.
A Pennsylvania congressman says there's a smear campaign going on inside the Pentagon, and he wants the defense chief to get to the bottom of it. Republican Congressman Kurt Weldon says Pentagon officials are trying to ruin one of their own who's gone public about a top-secret military intel unit.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, who was the first member of Able Danger to go public, has now been told in writing by the Defense Intelligence Agency that he can't speak to members of Congress or their staff without prior approval. And now a security clearance, which allowed him to deal with classified information, has been pulled. The congressman says Schaefer has been gagged, punished for speaking up.
It's obvious to me this is a clear attempt to silence this guy, but now even more than to silence him, to ruin him as a person and a military officer. I've talked to all the Able Danger players, and they all agree this is a witch hunt against Tony. It's wrong, it's un-American, it's unacceptable.
Pentagon reportedly does not want the public to hear next week's Senate testimony about the former secret intelligence unit known as Able Danger. Two congressional sources have told Fox News that the military's pressuring senators to move the hearings behind closed doors.
When the Able Danger hearings were held, Schaefer and others were gagged. Eventually, Schaefer would be able to speak at a whistleblower's hearing.
Many of us take seriously our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Let me be up front here. I am no Boy Scout. I was not hired as an intelligence officer because I hung out at the Christian Science Reading Room. My job is to get information using tried and true intelligence methodologies. According to my legal counsel, until I disclosed the Able Danger information, I was a rock star. It was my work as a chief of DIA's Special Mission Task Force in 1998 that I became involved with Able Danger. My officers and I were working at the cutting edge of technology and DoD black operations. Most of all of my operations and operational records remain classified.
With all this evidence, why did the 9/11 Commission and Pentagon suppress valuable information about the hijackers' activities leading up to the attacks?
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Our next guest is with us until about 40 after, and he's going to come back on in the summer when his new book, The Dark Side of the Force, comes out. Much of what he knows he can't tell us because of national security, but he's got a little bit of new info he can reveal here today. We're talking about a host of issues, the underwear bomber, the body scanners, the police state, 9/11, how he was gagged from being able to talk to the public about what he knew, how he was persecuted. He's Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, of course, of Able Danger fame. You've seen him on television many, many times, and he is with us again for the next 30 minutes or so. Colonel Schaefer, it's great to have you here with us.
Well, thanks, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad that we got in touch with each other. There's so much going on, and I could go over your bio, but for those that may not know who you are, recap who you are and your experience with trying to stop 9/11 and then your persecution.
Right. Well, to put it all in kind of a nutshell, I'm a case officer by trade, trained by CIA years ago, a lot of years ago. My primary job with Department of Defense was to conduct human intelligence operations, which the public commonly knows as espionage. I did that for about 20 years, and my specialty was special operations support, direct support special operations. So while I wasn't necessarily a Green Beret, I spent a lot of time with them, supporting them, and then doing things in what's known as the black world, the black operations world. And of course, within the context of that, I did a lot of it both as an Army civilian, as an Air Force civilian and also as a Defense Intelligence Agency civilian. All along, I was an Army reservist, and a lot of the stuff I would do and still continue to do is as an Army reservist. And so the primary focus of all of that work, frankly, was going after hard targets, going after the real challenges of the country, the North Koreans, the Iranians. I did a lot of work on things like counter-drug back when we were actually focusing on counter-drug back in the 90s. And it all kind of culminated in the late 90s, at least from my perspective, in a project called Able Danger. And Able Danger was essentially an entrepreneurial concept come up that was brought up by General Hugh Shelton, who was then chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who tasked General Schoomaker, the then commander of Special Operations Command, to bring together a group to really do out-of-the-box thinking, to take a clean sheet of paper, if you will, and try to see what would be possible to go after a transnational, and what we mean by transnational is something that does not sit in one single country, a transnational threat, which back then was the then blossoming threat of Al-Qaeda. And it was very innovative. We tried to put together a hybrid team of folks from Defense Intelligence, which was my element, something called Stratus Ivy. We were a special mission task force, along with technology and support of the Army Land Information Warfare Activity, which was doing some very advanced data mining, which was then being funded by Representative Kurt Weldon. There's a great interest by Congress to try to actually do some things with new technology, all on behalf of the Special Operations Command, who had the charter, who was tasked by General Shelton and General Schoomaker to try to find ways to go after Al-Qaeda. And again, it's notable here, Alex, that this was all pre-9/11. This was all done 98, 99, 2000. And it was a very advanced, for the time, data mining effort. That was the – a lot of people don't understand. That was just one part of it. The actual components – the larger moving pieces, if you will, were never really brought to light during the Able Danger hearings and everything else. And I will talk about that a little bit more in the book when the book comes out. Right now it's going through a review, so I'm not sure what's going to make it through completely, but the idea here...
You're having to get, for those that don't know, national security view overview and a release authorization from what, the Department of Defense, CIA?
Oh, no, from Army. Since I'm an Army body and I was actually on active duty with the Army during the time that I was conducting the operations in Afghanistan. And this book is going to focus primarily on Afghanistan, the dark side of the force. And it has to do with my work there, working as part of Task Force 180 and Task Force 121. I was actually attached to 121, which is General McChrystal's command in Afghanistan back in 03 and 04. And it goes into a fairly good detail about how we were doing things. And frankly, we're portraying it clearly as the tipping point in Afghanistan. We've been able to, a lot of the folks I worked with have collaborated. I was assigned to something called the Leadership Targeting Cell, the LTC. We had good cooperation, excellent cooperation from my colleagues on that. And so we've been able to kind of go through in detail. It's kind of an action adventure in that it I think the readers will like it by the fact I try to tell it in the first person, much like the Martin Sheen character, the Captain Willard character in Apocalypse Now. It's almost, and you can probably appreciate this from your perspective, Alex, the insanity of seeing bureaucracy in action. And a large part of the focus is kind of give people a feel for what it was like to have to deal with not only the enemies that are shooting at you, but your own enemies who are behind the wire, who just really don't want to do the right thing. And so we try to portray this fairly, and it'll be focused primarily on my work in Afghanistan. But
well, we're going to talk about that once, and I'm looking really forward to a full-hour interview with you when The Dark Side of the Force comes out and, find out who the Emperor Palpatine is in the story. But expanding, you then tried to tell the 9/11 Commission and Congress this info, and then they began to persecute you. Why was that?
Well, it's interesting how it all kind of popped up. And the book will only talk about the initial disclosure, and it'll end kind of with me being pulled off the front line after my second deployment to Afghanistan. But my initial disclosure came directly to Dr. Philip Zelikow, who was the then chair of the 9/11 Commission. And what I just told you and your audience is what I told him, but in about an hour's worth of briefing where I lay out all the bones of the operation. I lay out everything from who was involved, what was the focus. I talked about some clandestine operations which were related to it, which we were using to support the targeting effort. And of course, one of the things which drew total silence and shock when I brought it up was the fact that we discovered three of the 9/11 hijacker cells. We discovered three of the four cells of the 9/11 attacks. And it was, you know, total shock and dismay by the people in the room, to include Dr. Zelikow. And then during that initial disclosure, he pulls me aside at the end of that meeting, and at Bagram, this happened in October of 2003, and gives me his card and says, what you said today, and I'm going to quote as accurately as I remember, and I think this is as direct as my testimony, what you said today is very important. We need to continue this dialogue. I need you to contact me upon your return to the United States. And at which time I explained to him, well, you know, I'm actually undercover here, so I'm going to have to give, you know, my real name is something else. I will, you know, contact your staff when I get back. And it was during that time, between October and February, and then January, frankly, something happened. And to me, there's still a mystery of what exactly happened. But sure enough, I followed up, contacted his staff, and all of a sudden, they don't want to talk to me. Even though what I said there, that Bagram, they were very, very shocked, very interested. And I was told after talking to his staff twice, again, I'll quote as accurately as I remember it, we don't need you to come in. We have all the information on Able Danger that we need, unquote. And that's kind of when things started going wrong, and I really didn't know why. Next thing I know, my clearance is suspended, and I'm pulled off the front line, despite the fact I received the Bronze Star, was sent back a second time to plan a surge operation for another surge to go after bin Laden. And it was I was pulled off over what can only be described as petty issues. And I'll go through them briefly.
Hold on before you do that, Colonel Schaefer. Sure. We also have Farmer, one of the head lawyers for the commission, saying there was a cover-up going on within the commission. See them persecuting you. We see them. I mean, tell us what happened to you and the persecution, but then what do you think about Sybil Edmonds' testimony that she was listening to communiques where elements of the CIA were communicating with al-Qaeda and the Taliban and knew about their movements, thanks to the intel you and others were gathering, right up until the moment of 9/11?
Well, I tend to believe that there's a great deal of truth to that, and then there's a couple things I want to add to that to back up your point. First, when I was in closed hearings, when I was getting ready to go into closed hearings on the Hill back in 2000, I'm going fast forward here a little bit, but in 2006 when I was in closed hearings, Representative Sylvester Reyes himself comes up to me. And he, as you know, Sylvester Reyes is now, I believe, the chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And Representative Reyes comes up and says, Colonel Schaefer, I know there's something to what you're saying because Dr. Zelikow came and approached me in January of 2006 2004 and said, there's something called Able Danger. We think it's promising. We'll get back to you on that. And frankly, they never got back to him. So this is one of the senior Democrats coming to me and saying, they told us about it, but then they never followed up. So I do believe something happened internally. And I've talked to a couple of the 9/11 Commission folks. I can't go on a lot of detail. They've asked me to not give out their names. But frankly, one of the 9/11 commissioners told me personally, everybody was covering for someone within that commission. That is to say that everybody who was a commissioner had an agenda.
But what about Sybil Edmonds saying she was decoding the FBI/NSA recordings out of the foreign language, of Arabic, and she's sitting there listening to it, and it is elements of Western intelligence interfacing, and we know that Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski brags in two books he wrote that they got the Arab Legion together out of other Muslim extremist groups and that they were interfacing with it right up until the attacks. That makes perfect sense for you, a separate division going after them. Once you expose that you guys could have gone after them, but many others have said they were kept from going after them, then that shows clearly that they wanted the attacks to happen to set up a police state in America.
Well, I can't go that far, Alex. I mean, you obviously have an overview different than mine. What I can say are the facts, and this is one of the things I try to be very clear on over the past 6 years, is that there's still a great deal of mystery as to why Able Danger stopped. And I can state that clearly because this was in my testimony, and it's one of those mysteries which
Well, let me just say this then. We saw Special Forces colonels and others, your contemporaries, your peers, in the news in 2002 complaining. And I had the author of Jawbreaker on, too, with the CIA saying, we weren't allowed to go after anybody real. And every time we caught somebody real, we were told, let them go.
Well, I understand what you're saying about the Jawbreaker, and I've read the book, and that's what I'm going to tell you here regarding Able Danger. There's still a mystery as to why it stopped. The operation planning occurred during the 99-2000 time frame, and as far as we all know, as part of the team, the last tangible real element of Able Danger occurred in February 2001. In which the Able Danger core team briefed General Shelton at the Pentagon about the options. And this is the thing I wanted to emphasize about Able Danger, Alex. It was not about data mining. It was about options to take action against Al-Qaeda. And again, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit.
You were targeting, you were tracking, you were identifying.
Yes.
And so you had them targeted and identified,
right.
and you weren't green-lighted.
That's correct. That is an accurate statement. Because, as a matter of fact, up till June of 2001, I was getting calls from my colleague, Commander, now Captain Scott Philpott, asking me to reactivate my component, my Stratus Ivy element, to help them continue the targeting process. And frankly, he was getting a great deal of static. I was pulled off. As a matter of fact, I was pretty much fired because I wouldn't back down on the issue. I actually had a confrontation, which you can find on the internet. Where I talked to the government security news, where I was interviewed, and I talked about the fact that my boss, Major General Rod Isler, and I had a shouting contest where I basically said, look, we've got to do this because this is a clear target, and I was told, it's not your job. You know, I'm the general, you're not, and I'm telling you to stop. So essentially during that time frame from February of 2001 until, you know, the attacks, those of us who were trying to actively work this, who, you know, because of our, and Alex, you understand this. I mean, I didn't just come off the street and pick up being an intelligence officer overnight. I had quite a bit of experience at the time, and so did the entire team. And we were all saying there's something wrong here. We got to do something because there's indications that these people are not only going to do something, we have cells of Al-Qaeda within the United States.
Well, let me stop you then before we get into that, Colonel Schaefer, and we really appreciate your time here today.
Yeah.
Separate investigations on separate operations similar to yours, they have spoken out and said the State Department and higher-level CIA killed our operations to decapitate Al-Qaeda. So your take on that?
Well, again, I can only go back to my direct experience. There was an asset who had fabulous access to Al-Qaeda, who was I can't go into a lot of detail. I had to be very careful about this because I talk about this in closed hearings. There was an operative, someone we had recruited, who we had every indication was loyal to us, who had fabulous access to the Al-Qaeda planning elements within Kabul. And frankly, this gets closer to the point of what Able Danger, my part of Able Danger was all about. That was really the focus for me, was Kabul. And what this individual had access to. And one of the things I told the 9/11 Commission was, we don't know why we were told to terminate our access to this individual. This became a huge battle because my then boss, Major General Bob Harding, actually went to the Hill to plead for our ability to continue running that asset because he had fabulous access. And for some reason, it was terminated.
Well, sir, why is it the same story?
Just to the 9/11 Commission. And as far as I can tell, this was never followed up in any great detail either.
Why is it the same story with Hassan a couple months ago at Fort Hood? For 2 years, he's sending emails. The CIA is capturing it all. Now Congress wants to see that. They've declared national security. We have the underwear bomber 2 weeks ago. He specifically, they want to put him on the watch list. His dad warns he gets through. I mean, this is not just government incompetence. These guys always get through.
Now, and that's a funny thing here, Alex. You got to look at this because, again, we had testimony, we had hearings on this in 2002, 2003. Again, when I testified in 2006 about the same core issues, and here we are in 2009. And I find it, and I'll be totally blunt here, I find it insulting that you have the special advisor of the president, Mr. Dunnan, saying, you know, well, you know, it's you know, we just didn't get our act together. As an American taxpayer, I'm aghast at the money they have spent over the past 6 years trying to fix this after, you know, I personally put my career on the line to go testify about it, and yet no one seems to take seriously the need to fix the system. And, Alex, it's not about more. It's not at all about more. As a matter of fact, we're going the wrong way. The more bureaucracy you create, the better the chances are you will have an Hassan or an underwear bomber get through security, because you are not layering security, you are bloating security. And this is where, you know, and I know that one of the reasons we're talking is because Mr. Tarpley was saying, you know, I've been out talking about this a little bit, and I think he agrees with me on this point. I'd like to believe so. I am not for more bureaucracy. As a matter of fact, the actual elegance of Able Danger was we avoided the bureaucracy. And that was one of the downfalls of the project, I believe, is because we avoided the powers that be relating to who the pros consider themselves to be regarding Al-Qaeda and all
and
that.
And they didn't want you to upstage them.
No, absolutely. And that was a huge issue. I actually had a confrontation with one of the CIA officers at SOCOM. He was a friend of mine. I had to go in and brief him on Able Danger. And he was being as friendly as he could be when he told me, Tony, I understand what Able Danger is about. I know it's not competing with us, but I can tell you right now, we CIA will never share our best information with you, because if you're successful and we're not, you will upstage us. Therefore, we will not participate. So, again, we recognize...
Is that why the CIA's been using Blackwater instead of the Army?
Well, you know, I actually was on ABC News on Brian Ross's, with Brian Ross's unit on this just recently, where I talked about the fact that this is one of the strange ironies. I was the guy who had to handle the first two Blackwater operatives who were killed in action back in October of 2003. So not only do I have direct knowledge of it, you know, I was the guy that had, you know, when they got killed, I had to do the graves registration stuff. That's the military term for basically coordinating the removal of the bodies from country to leave. So, in my judgment, absolutely. One of the things we recognized early on during the war is CIA really wanted to run its own game. And again, this is going to be something we talk about in the book to a great extent.
So they're setting up their own private army instead of using the army.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. And what they were doing is, and this is not new. This is in the public domain. They have their ground operations branch, which actually does their paramilitary operations. And one of the problems after 9/11 is they had a hard time building enough quickly with qualified and cleared officers. So one of the things they did, they took a shortcut and started hiring Blackwater individuals who were, you know, essentially coming out of Army Special Operations, out of Navy Special Operations, and putting them out in the field as CIA operatives. And, again, this has been on Brian Ross. You could go to the Internet. You can pull up the story where I talk about this on air. And yeah, the fact is this. They were taking these contractors and using them essentially, and I'll be blunt, mercenaries. They were using them in a role, not as security guards, but as guys outside the wire trying to train Afghan and Pakistani individuals to be essentially their operatives on the ground to do special operations.
And they've got them in Pakistan right now.
Yes. So that's what we're faced with right now. And frankly, one of the things I said with Brian Ross, and I'll say it again here, is that I think they did a great deal of this to avoid oversight. Because I think, and I've heard this from other folks on the Hill, the staffers, that there's a lot more that's supposed to come out on this. Because frankly, it appears now, and I think that's one of the reasons that Mr. Panetta, the DCI, actually went over and reported this to Congress, because I think when he discovered the fact that Blackwater was being used in operational roles, not as just guards, I think that's one of the reasons he made the disclosure to Congress immediately, because that is not within, as I understand, the CIA's purview to use Blackwater as operatives instead of guards. And that is clearly something that they used because they didn't want to use Army guys, regular uniform folks. And as you know, we who are in uniform still have to follow a lot of rules. There's a lot of laws, a lot of rules. And contractors.
But regardless of those laws and rules, you could have decapitated the Al-Qaeda leadership months before 9/11, and it didn't happen. And when you exposed that, they tried to persecute you.
That is my belief, based on all the evidence and other folks who have similar evidence, and frankly, insiders who have confirmed it to me, but will not come forward because they don't want to give up their career. They understand if they say anything, they will be gone after as well.
This is amazing. We've got a final segment with you, and I want to shift gears into some other areas of 9/11 and what's currently happening with the body scanners. Get your take on that. And certainly we look forward to having you back up in the near future. Colonel Anthony Schaefer from Able Danger is our guest. An amazing interview, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, we've got more time to talk here than on most TV shows, and this is very revealing. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a Fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, everyone. Andy Anderson here. Are you using those little bottles of hand gel that kill germs, bacteria, and other nasties? In today's world, that's smart, especially with the filthy doorknobs, shopping carts, and handrails we touch every day. Did you know that once the alcohol evaporates in a few seconds, goodbye effectiveness. No more protection till you use it again. PureWorks to the rescue. Our FDA-compliant foam, lotion, soap, and spray do not contain alcohol. Their killing power lasts up to 4 hours. PureWorks disinfecting spray is EPA-certified to kill swine flu, bird flu, MRSA, HIV, hepatitis B and C, and for our friends in medicine, kills C. diff, along with a whole host of viruses and bacteria, molds and fungus too. It's even safe around pets and children. You'll love how your skin feels with PureWorks, soft and supple. No more dry skin. Here's to a little peace of mind knowing that your hands are still germ-free hours later. Call now, toll-free, 888-245-0300 to get your hands on PureWorks and get PureWorks on your hands. That's 888-245-0300.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Burmes' film that I produced, Fabled Enemies, details what really happened on 9/11 from all the evidence. My film Terror Storm also goes over it. Bare minimum, governments let this happen so they can take your rights, your freedom. Take the MIAC report we leaked that the military and police gave us. Take the Homeland Security report where it's really all set up for conservatives, libertarians, Bob Barr, Ron Paul, get us out of the UN stickers or demonized. What do you think of hearing that in the news, that most of Homeland Security and domestic operations now is focused on conservatives? I mean, the public's told this is all for Al-Qaeda, and then the whole thing's set up for the American people. Colonel Schaefer.
I got to tell you, I believe most of the measures which have been put in place to include, you know, the concept of the body scanner, a lot of those stuff, and frankly, and we talked a little bit on the break about the scanner supports. You know, I got to tell you, most of the stuff is proven, if you look at the scientific evidence, to not really be all that effective, but we spend tons of money. I actually attended a hearing a while back on the backscatter devices that they put in the ports, and the fact that they had to report, that the Department of Homeland Security had to report, they're not really working. And there is something called ASP, A-S-P. And, of course, their answer was, of course, we need more money. If you give us another, you know, $100 million, well, the manufacturer thinks they'll fix it. And that's part of the problem. I think almost the government becomes a taxi, if you will, for corporate America, because a lot of these companies have huge amounts of resources invested. Raytheon, Boeing, some of the other big companies, I'm not trying to single them out, but I'm just saying that a lot of companies do benefit very much by investing in these technologies. And my problem with the process, obviously, as someone who, you know, I'm a think tank guy, is that they don't really work. And my belief is good money after bad is a key indicator of a lack of accountability. You've got to be honest. You've got to stand up at some point and say, it ain't working. We've wasted all this money. You got to stop. We got to take a different course. And this is where we have problems all throughout the system, lack of accountability. And again, and this is indicative of the fact that we almost had a Northwest airliner brought down by the fact there's no accountability.
Colonel, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we've only got 6 minutes left with you.
Yeah.
You've agreed to come back on in the near future.
Sure.
And we want to give out any websites, any other information you want to give here at the end. But let me go back to 9/11 briefly. Here's CBS News. Hijackers live with FBI informant. Just going to throw that out. And they were ordered to stand down, not just you. This is Newsweek. Exclusive. The informant who lived with the hijackers. Here's another one. Newsweek. Alleged hijackers may have trained at U.S. bases. Then we get, in the Associated Press, the colonel, head of the Monterey Defense Language School, saying, look, some of these guys were at our base. We have Springman, the head of the U.S. Embassy section in Saudi Arabia, being ordered to let them in, even though they were on watch list. And he was told later, oh, that was part of secret training. They were our operatives. So we have all of that. You add all of this together. What can you tell us about talking to other colleagues about hijackers being allowed in and out of the country, being protected, not acting in a very Muslim extremist fashion with all the whores and drugs and topless bars, the FBI living with them, Israeli intelligence following them around? What was really going on here in the U.S.?
Well, again, I got to be careful to limit myself to my direct knowledge, and I'll add to the pieces that I have. I'll be happy to add the pieces. I don't want to comment on other people's information. I can tell you this for a fact, Alex, is the fact that during the data mining phase of Able Danger, Al-Qaeda cells were discovered. And the fact that they were discovered was haunting. A lot of folks were shocked that the information that we'd had uncovered as a team indicated that they were active cells. This is not like just, you know, people who are sleepers. These are active cells doing things. And the appearance was that they were active. They weren't sleeper. They were active. They were doing.
They were preparing for something.
Exactly. So that information was passed forward. And there's good evidence now from a friend of mine who did some research that the information that we came up with was reported to President Clinton in the Millennium Bomber Report. One of the things that was disclosed that Sandy Berger was after was copies of the Millennium Bombing Report. And within that report, that was, you know, well prior to 9/11, was within that report, and this is reported in John Ashcroft's book. I don't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but John Ashcroft actually admits that there was information in the Millennium Bomber Report relating to Al-Qaeda cells, active cells, being found in the United States. So, you know, we believe, based on the evidence we have, that was our gig. That was Able Danger. And obviously, at that level, you don't call things by its operational name, but we believe that information regarding what was in the Millennium Report that went from Ashcroft to President Clinton was the Able Danger information.
And it was so damning that Berger broke national security laws. He could have gone to prison for life to stick it in his underwear and socks to get it out of there.
That's correct, yes. So that is, right in my judgment, telling by the fact that, yeah, we did discover these guys. It was hugely bad for a lot of folks. And one of the other controversial points I've been told about lately, and this is, I think, new for everybody, one of the things my colleagues have told me is like, yeah, the moment that happened, you know, there was consideration of allowing Special Operations Command to go do some stuff, you know, in the United States, and that was hugely controversial. And I think that's one of the things they don't want to have talked about is the fact that, you know, some people, to include myself, thought that, you know, look, if these guys are operating here, we need to do something sooner than later. And if we're in the best position to do something, let us do it. And that was hugely unpopular for any number of reasons. Posse comitatus and all those other restrictions, which I understand why they exist. I support them. But clearly, you know, we had discovered that there were active cells within the United States, And just so everybody understands, this is not new. Eric Kleinsmith, who was the actual analyst who discovered this stuff, testified in front of Senator Allen Specter on this point in August of 2005, I believe.
Well, you've told us some new things, and you're getting, hopefully, security clearance for your book coming out in the early summer, perhaps even late spring. But in the last minute we've got, what can you give us foreshadowing on that is new that's coming out?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, just speaking in the general situation right now, you've got the problem with people like Brennan, who have been part of the bureaucracy for the entire time. Don't forget, Alex, no one was ever held accountable for 9/11. And you know, I look at Mr. Brennan doing what he's doing right now, akin to Bernie Madoff being brought back to investigate the damage he caused with his Ponzi scheme. It's ludicrous. So what we got to do, if we only focus on one core issue, that issue needs to be accountability. If you can't do the job, you need to be replaced.
Exactly. Regardless of what happened, we know they screwed up. We know they knew beforehand and let it happen. Bare minimum, for whatever reason, why are they now back in charge, getting away with everything?
Yes.
And why do you get rewarded for failure? And then people that actually did a good job, like yourself, no one denies you did a great job. You're being persecuted for trying to kill Osama bin Laden, and he supposedly, you know, is the guy over at Al-Qaeda that was involved in all of this. And now we see more and more of this used to take our liberties and our freedom. And again, on record, you do want a new investigation of 9/11.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I public supported the NICAN call for a new investigation. And I don't agree with everything that all the movements stand for out there. I think the one common issue, Alex, we all agree on, we need a new investigation. We need to really turn over all the rocks, get to the real bottom, an independent commission, not consisting of people who have agendas, to sit down, to go through everything in detail for a full accounting. And frankly, people need to be fired if they fail to conduct themselves in accordance with their oath of office. So,
absolutely. Is there a website yet for the Dark Side of the Force, the book coming out in the summer?
No, there's not. But what you can do is, you know, I'm a senior fellow with the Center for Advanced Defense Studies, c4ads.org. We do a combination of studies on technology and policies relating to defense. I do a lot of, you know, they're the think tank I belong to. And obviously I'll come back with you when we do have more information about the book. And I look forward to chatting with you guys in the future as things develop.
Well, I'm flattered that you read InfoWars, Colonel. How long have you been checking that out?
Well, you know, since I've been it was one that recommended to me very early on when I was, joined Facebook last year. So I'm a fan of it. So I look at it all the time.
Well, thank you so much, Colonel. And
thank
we look
you.
Forward to reading your new book and look forward to having you back on. Be safe, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
You bet. Goodbye. Okay. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Talking to that guy off air is interesting. I mean, he hadn't told me anything secret or anything. He just certainly is telling you as much as he can. And he likes what we do. He likes the films and the material and the information. And what does that tell you? A big black op commander telling you they could have wiped out every one of the supposed Al-Qaeda commanders long before 9/11 and they weren't allowed to. And neither was the FBI here in the U.S. And Israeli intelligence was literally handling them, all over them. The FBI was all over them. It looks, from the best we can tell, with the 7/7 bombings and with the 9/11 operations and with the underwear bomber, they get useful idiots who think they're part of drills. And in some cases, they get real terrorists who are being handled by international crime syndicate, private networks, mole operators, who allow them to carry out these attacks. And then some events are completely staged, like Gulf of Tonkin, that didn't even happen, and they just say, oh, we got to go to war. But there certainly are real Muslim terrorists out there, you know, that they would call themselves fighters against Western occupation. But regardless, there are real asymmetrical people out there attacking in non-traditional military operations. But most, when you see a terror attack and it's got earmarks of intelligence protecting it in the West, and you see a simultaneous rollout for a new war in Yemen and a new rollout of body scanners that Homeland Security is all making money off of privately, openly, criminally, in a revolving door of looting, like Chertoff, when you see all that happening simultaneously and it fits the MO of everything you've seen over and over and over and over again, you know what's going on. And Colonel Shaver didn't get into all the persecution he went through, all the things they tried to do to him. When he went to him and said, yeah, you know, and take Sybil Evans, who we've interviewed. Sybil Evans. She's listening to the NSA, CIA intercepts, reading them at FBI, transcribing them from Arabic and Farsi and the rest of it over into English for the FBI analyst to read it. And it's elements of the CIA, and she's now gone to federal court and broken her gag order because she was called in another case and was able to talk about it. And she said narcotics running, child kidnapping, sex slave, weapons with Al-Qaeda and elements of the CIA and private contractors. Remember that. And she said this years ago. She put a lot of it out here on the show, and then in the last year came out with all of it. And she said the CIA was running Al-Qaeda right up until 9/11. So, of course, the CIA didn't want the Pentagon and CENTCOM and special forces operators and the Green Berets to be able to go out and kill their Al-Qaeda frontmen, who themselves were just cutouts for this whole operation. Because we have enough declassified operations from decades past to know what this operation is, and it fits. All the pieces fit perfectly. We know what happened. And the goal is take American liberty, set up a police state, launch all these new wars, start a clash of civilizations. Everything the PNAC report wrote about, the Pentagon minions, Dick Cheney and Jeb Bush and others wrote about, in September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, a white paper issued by the Project for a New American Century. And they say, if we don't have a big Pearl Harbor terror attack, notice that Pearl Harbor killed 3,000, 9/11 killed 3,000, if we don't have that, we're not going to be able to launch Pax Americana, the empire of America. But it's not an empire we own or we get. Let's say we're immoral, evil, piratical demons, which we're not, the average American. You know, the government said, we're evil, we're the forces of doom, we're going to take over the planet. Most of the military and people wouldn't go along with that. But even if you are evil and believe you got some goodies, you didn't get cheaper oil. You got higher taxes. You paid for a private corporate war over opium and oil and weapons and everything else. You paid for a war that helped global interests destroy America's sovereignty. I mean, if you really believe Muslims are the greatest evil on the earth, why are they bringing record numbers of them into the country? Why do they protect them with the Fort Hood and the underwear bomber and every single case right down the line? Why is the FBI protecting them in their homes? Why are the Israelis protecting them? Why do the major white supremacist groups every time in the U.S. get caught being run by the feds, founded by the feds? They want to radicalize the political debate to make the empire look good. If you're against the private Federal Reserve, you must be a Nazi. If you're against the wars and the globalists, oh, you must be a Muslim extremist. See how they do that? And so that's why they run the radical Muslims and protect them and shepherd them, depending on what variety they are, whether they're real or manufactured. There's all different types in this grab bag. It's the same thing with the white supremacist. That's why the white supremacists attack me number one, because they are a federal body. Hal Turner is a FBI agent, national security branch, confirmed in federal court last week with the FBI defending him and calling for the case to be dropped. The U.S. attorney defending him as a great soldier of the FBI. He made a mistake, though, in his operations. A bunch of state judges got mad when he started telling people to go after him. The states still have power. And these judges go, I don't care if this is an FBI operation. You don't have your operative get up there and say, come after me. And so he's been indicted in multiple states. And the FBI comes in and says he is an agent. He is deep cover. And they say, okay, what division? National Security Branch. Highest level security. I mean, in fact, go to Kurt Nemo's article that links to the Hal Turner family blog, the Chicago Tribune, the Boston Globe. The headline was Hal Turner, National Security Asset. When you actually read the transcript, most of it's blacked out. It says he is a CIA, he is a FBI National Security Agent. He is an agent. And who did he attack every day? Me. Who are the FBI and CIA attacking? Me. Because I'll have people on like Colonel Shaver to tell the truth. There's the article. Put it up on screen. Hal Turner's a National Security Asset. And you scroll down. You scroll down in the article, and in it, punch it up on screen for me, for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Anybody can go read it. When you scroll down, we have the PDFs blacked out under national security, but the parts that aren't blacked out say FBI agent, highest security clearance, national security. Are you guys able to scroll that down? Or? Because I just want to scroll it down. Yeah, the article. Perfect. You scroll it down and see those documents. Click on those. You can blow those documents up, and that is from the federal court. The Hal Turner Family Blog and the Chicago Tribune directly link to the federal and state courthouses. And there it is, where you can read national security intelligence, terrorism, foreign counterintelligence. And then you scroll down to the next document, it says he was an agent. And every one of these major groups, see how it's redacted right there? Every one of these groups are run by these people. Because that's why, what does Chris Matthews do? Oh, I don't want socialism and government-run health care. That's code word for racism. Ron Paul says, I don't want to launch new wars. Oh, you're an anti-Semite. They have to radicalize the debate so that mainline Americans don't wake up to this. They have to put a turd in the punch bowl on every issue of white supremacist activity. That guy is an FBI agent right there.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
The fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at Infowars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
America is such a police state that Rob Jacobson, one of my video editors, got points on his license and was sent a bill for a ticket and auto accident he never had. And they just said, we'll arrest you. Derek, one of our salesmen, paid for a speeding ticket over a month ago. He has the receipt. They just lost it, and they called him just now and said, we're going to come arrest you if you don't come prove that you paid this ticket. See, the government just does whatever it wants, and I've got all these Boy Scout parents in denial from Fall of the Republic and other films I've made showing how they're being federalized and taken over by local police as well, going, well, they've always trained with law enforcement. No, they're being fully taken over and deployed at checkpoints and at malls. Here's one out of the Daily Journal. Explorer program exposes youth to law enforcement in police uniforms out searching people at the mall. The Yugen. Okay? Here's another one. Irma Boy Scout troop first in state to get new law enforcement patch. These are pouring in. Major police departments under federal grants are taking over the Boy Scouts. Parents, say no to this, man. This is Soviet Russia, Nazi Germany. Stop living in denial. I know what's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. You people really need to wake up out there. This was an incredible week. This was the best week of radio, full five shows we've ever done. I want to commend the crew, the best crew I've ever had. I want to commend the IT people, Genesis, everybody, the sponsors, the affiliates. I'll be back Sunday live 4 to 6 p.m. Just amazing job to everybody. I want to encourage everyone to continue to visit the online video bookstore at Infowars.com to get the materials. America is ready to be woken up. In the first hour, we covered a bunch of key news, and I had about 12-plus percent of kids being sexually abused in government custody. We're also going to have Damon Vickers on, Bob Chapman, and then, of course, the Able Danger Colonel Schaefer interview. I mean, and we've got interviews next week. It just gets more and more powerful, more and more informative. The Drudge Report has added InfoWars as a permanent link. Thank them for that. In their new top news sources, I mean, this is incredible. We are breaking through at every level. What we're talking about has now become mainstream. We can defeat the New World Order together. But as people are finding out, we knew what we were talking about. We're right. We're the patriots. We're the good guys. We're anti-New World Order. The New World Order is the enemy. In closing, I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors that have made this week's show possible and hope that you will support them out there. One of them is Survival Seed Bank, super high-quality survival seed banks where you can save them or use them, non-hybrid, non-GMO, organic, high-quality seeds, a great deal from the great folks at Solutions from Science. SurvivalSeedBank.com, the spring's coming up. Get your Survival Seed Bank, plant one. See how great they are, save another, or give it as a gift. SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call, 877-327-0365. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, 877-327-0365. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, out of all of these fabulous sponsors, the Diginet.net line of hidden video camera sunglasses, where it's all contained in the sunglasses, the memory chip and the battery and everything, a little camera. Great wherever you look, you're filming. They have the hidden Diginet pens. Everything available at Diginet.net, Diginet.net. Everyone needs one of the pens in their car or at their office. You never know when you're going to need it. Always keep it by your side. A great line of high products. They're a huge seller, so you get the lowest prices there I've seen and high quality. Diginet.net, Diginet.net, Diginet.net. Check them out today. And again, great job to all of our sponsors making this radio show possible. Don't forget the free podcast, over 200,000 people a day. Listen how you want, when you want. Subscribe to it, to your MP3, your iPhone, whatever, on the listen link at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, top of the page. Don't forget the restreams, free for everybody. Higher quality archives at PrisonPlanet.tv and the video archives of the show, as well as all the films and your AM and FM shortwave satellite as well. God bless you all. Back this Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Got some big surprises coming up on that show. We'll see you this Sunday. God bless.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.